Genesis chapter 5, and we'll also be in Hebrews chapter 11. I appreciate that song. I think there's, I know that we don't live up to all of the power that God has made available to us in these days. You know, we read about and hear about generations of the past and how they lived for God and what God did for them, and I think that we think that, you know, God just doesn't do that stuff anymore. You know, that God doesn't reveal himself in those ways, that he doesn't interact with his people anymore, but we've denied the power and the power of godliness that he talks about in 2 Timothy 3. There's a lot of times that we allow sin and the world and our society to discourage us from how much power God really has, but he really does have a lot that he's made available to us, and he's made every possible provision for us to live as lights in this world that we live in. If we don't do that, it's not, as I said this morning, it's not God's fault. It's not like he hasn't preached to us and given us the word of God. He has, but it's because we have either deceived ourselves or been deceived by others into living below what God has given us. Genesis chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews chapter 11. This is a very familiar passage and a familiar individual. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let's pray. Father, I need your help tonight. You know my inability and my weakness, and I pray tonight that you would help me and preach through me, that I would say only what you would have said tonight, that we would be inspired, that we would have a desire in our hearts to walk with you, that we would see how good and how pleasant and how wonderful it is to walk with you tonight. I pray that we would steer our families and our children in the right direction, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just have 3 points, and I won't be as long as I was this morning, as some people pointed out to me, but so this could last only 15 minutes, or it could last longer. I don't want to put a time limit on it, because you know how those things go. It seemed like every time my dad preached, and he would say, oh, I only preach about 30 minutes, so y'all stick with me. He'd be there for, you know, hour and 30 minutes. That's how they go. But this is a very important subject, and something that is very needed for our times and for our young people and for our families, and that's the subject of walking with God. And that's, I have a simple title, and that is Enoch Walked with God. There's not much written about Enoch in the Bible. He was obviously a great man, somebody who had something done for him that only Elijah had done for him, and that was his translation to heaven, that he should not see death. This is something very, very rare. Only 2 out of all the billions of people in the world have not died. Even Jesus laid down his life for us, and he was not ascended to heaven. He ascended himself to heaven. He had the power to do that. But these 2 men did not have the power to do that, Elijah and Enoch. But God is the one that brought them from earth to heaven, that they should not see death. This man Enoch, not a lot is written about him, just a few verses. He bore the same name as Cain's son, according to Genesis. This was a fairly commonly used name at this time. But this Enoch stood out from all of them because of just these few verses that we read here that are written about him. Enoch was a man who lived before the flood. He lived in a wicked world, and he still walked with God. And that's the kind of world that we live in today. We live, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the day of the Son of Man. I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. I can't remember the exact quotation, but he said they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And that's the kind of blindness that we see now in our churches and in the world that we live in. We live among and with people, and sometimes even we are those people. We just go about our business as if nothing is going on, as if this country is not wicked, as if it is not completely given to the devil and to sin. We marry and we give in marriage, and we eat and we drink and we work and we celebrate and we party and act like nothing's going on. Meanwhile, the judgment of God is sweeping across this country. Our pastor has said something several times, and I will repeat it because it is true. If you look at the things that have happened in this country since, I believe it was 2015, when the Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriages are constitutional. If you look at the things that have happened here since that time, then you will realize that we are under the judgment of God. We have crossed a line with God as a country. We have crossed a line with God as churches, and many men and many pastors have been silent, and they think if we just ignore it, if we just do what we're going to do and we just try to live our lives and take care of our families, then everything will be fine. But we have a responsibility as preachers and as Christians and as God's children to stand against the wickedness in our society, to stand against the institutional wickedness in our society. We've heard a lot about institutional racism, but we haven't heard very much about institutional wickedness. That's the real problem in our society and in our country. We have people in power, people who are local leaders, state leaders, national leaders, and federal judges, federal employees that are consumed by sensuality and wickedness. That's the kind of days that Enoch lived in. We see, first of all, the time of Enoch's walk. He was born to Jared, and he lived 300 years after his son Methuselah was born. If you look back in Genesis chapter 5, I believe it is, Genesis chapter 5, then after Methuselah was born, he lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son called Noah. It was during the days of Noah that the wickedness that was on the earth would so overrun everything that God had no other choice than to send a worldwide flood and to destroy everybody that was on the face of the earth. There's a lot of people that try that the evolutionists, the first thing they attacked was the flood of Noah. It was actually the flood of God, but the flood that Noah survived by the power of God and by the ark that God had him to build. That's the first thing that our society started attacking about this Bible, is they went to Genesis and they started attacking the flood so that they could attack Genesis 1 as well. They don't believe there was a worldwide flood. They don't believe there was this time of judgment. And men have always tried to make excuses for the judgment of God. They've tried to say, oh, no, I just got this disease because of something that I was involved in, because somebody gave it to me. But the Bible clearly lays out diseases and judgment that God will send whenever he is at odds with the people of a country. God has clearly laid out judgments and pestilences and things that he will send whenever he is angry with a people. And I have to say tonight that God is angry with America. There's no doubt about that. America forsook God a long time ago. And it didn't start in Washington. It started in the churches. All of this unrest that we see with people rioting and burning in the streets and all of these things that are going on, that didn't start in the high schools. That started in the churches. Whenever people started running out the preacher for preaching the truth. Whenever the preacher said, this is the way that you should live, and they said, well, I'm not going to give my tithes if you're going to preach that way. That's exactly where our society learned to be where we are. Now, I understand that, you know, we can't take the blame for all of the stuff that's going on, but as the church goes, so goes the world. Whenever the church stops being a place of power, whenever they stop being a place of obedience and a place of submission to God and to His authority, then the country will follow in the same steps. It is time for us as members of God's church, as children of God, it's time for us to give back to what is important, and that is walking with God. When the church lost their power, then society stopped fearing the church. When the church stopped walking with God, then the society stopped fearing the power of the church and the prayers of the church. They stopped coming to the church for solutions to problems. And now they go to the government. People used to go to the church whenever they were having family problems. Now they run to the social worker or the divorce courts. That's because the church has lost its power. We've quit walking with God. Enoch, during a wicked time, was not persuaded. During a time when men, now we understand that it wasn't as bad as it was in the days of Noah, but it was almost there. It was just 60 years after Enoch was taken, then Noah was born, and during Noah's time, then the world had become so overrun with wickedness and with violence that God decided to destroy it. That's the times that Enoch lived in, the lead up to those times. And that's where we are as well. But Enoch was not persuaded. He was not discouraged by what he saw. He was not discouraged by the wickedness around him. He walked with God all the days of his life after he begat Methuselah. The Bible says that he lived 300 years after he begat Methuselah, and that's when he walked with God. I don't know if he walked with God the 65 years before, but after Methuselah was born, then he definitely walked with God. The time of Enoch's walk was the entirety of his, what we would call, adult life. At this time, something happened whenever Methuselah was born. He was 65, which is a very young man during these times. That would be considered an old man now, but compared to the amount of time that they lived, they averaged about 700 years living. And that would have been, you know, in our years, if we're translating the numbers, that's like 6.5 years old. He was pretty young, comparatively speaking. Everybody else would have been 180, 150 whenever they started begetting sons and daughters. So Methuselah, whenever Enoch was a young man by these standards, Methuselah was born, and something happened there where Enoch said that he was going to walk with God. He made a decision. Maybe it's because his son was born. Maybe something else happened. I don't know. We're not told that. But at something happened in Enoch's life that he decided, I am going to walk with God. And he did. We need that kind of resolve again in our young people and in our young men especially. We live in a generation of very weak and fragile young men, men who are broken by peer pressure. They are broken by every temptation that comes by. We have fathers who are fragile in their homes, fathers who are a detriment to their wives and to their children because they will not walk with God because they're fragile. They're distracted by everything that happens in the world. But Enoch, as a young man, according to these standards, Enoch was not distracted by all of the things that were going on around him. He was not distracted by all of the partying. He was not distracted by all of the peer pressure and the advancement that was going on in his society. He was going to walk with God. That's the kind of resolve that we need in these days. We know that we live in perilous times. He said in 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. The perilous times don't come because of the days that it is. It's because the men that live in those days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection. That's the days that we live in. Paul wrote those words 2,000 years ago and predicted exactly what this world would be like 2,000 years later. If you need any evidence that the Word of God is true, there's some evidence for you. Amen. You can read the book of Ezekiel, read the book of Timothy, and read every prophecy that God has made and that He has fulfilled, and you can realize that His Word is true. You can read those verses and see that God knew what we were going to be like, that this word has predicted and known exactly what men were going to be like. And yet we still throw it aside. We still go after other things. We still go after contemporary music and contemporary worship and new translations of the Bible or whatever they call those things, and the life Bibles and all those perversions of this Word of God. We still go after those things, even though this has been 100% true. We need some men and some families and some churches again that will establish that come what may, they are going to walk with God. The time of Enoch's walk was a wicked time. It was a time that we don't know anything about. We cannot process, we cannot understand what the world before the flood was like. It was like a completely different place. Men living to be hundreds of years old. Possibly, you know, the sons of God coming down to earth. That access we hear and read about Cain and Job and these men having direct conversations with God even though they weren't seeing Him face to face. It was a different time that we can't understand. And yet Enoch decided that he was going to walk with the same God that you and I have the opportunity to walk with, and he did. We need some people again that are going to follow through on what they say, that are going to follow through on their commitments to God. We used to take vows before God, and vows made at the altar, vows made at the wedding altar and in the church altar. We used to take those things seriously. We used to come to God and say, God, I'm going to give this up. I'm going to walk in the way that you want me to. I'm going to preach. I'm going to go to the mission field. I'm going to go to the nursing home. I'm going to witness to that man at the job. And we would follow through with it because we had a desire to walk with God. But we've lost that in this generation. We're more interested in making sure nobody gets mad at us, making sure there's no confrontation. That's not what Enoch was concerned with. He was concerned with one thing, and that is walking with God. That needs to be the focus of our families. Let me tell you, if you don't walk with God in this generation, then your family has no chance at all. There might have been a time in the past, and I would have to see it to believe it, but there might have been a time when you could come in and just come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and just live your life how you wanted to live it on Monday through Friday, and your children might have survived, maybe. That might have been a time, but those days are not today. If you are not all in 100% for serving God, your children don't have a chance. Because the society and the world that we live in does not tolerate anything except complete submission to them. Amen. You have to make a choice. You choose whether or not you're going to have Hollywood in your home or you don't. There's no middle ground anymore. I understand there's probably old TV shows that we can watch and all those things, and I'm not your pastor, so I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't watch. But the stuff that's coming out today, there is no doubt that it is completely opposed to this Word of God. It's completely opposed to your family. They don't like your family, a mother and a father and children. They don't like marriage. They would rather you live together than get married. They would rather you manage some kind of family household, as they call it now. They don't even call it marriage or families anymore. They just call it a household and they really hate the nuclear family. If you read Black Lives Matter website, they hate the nuclear family. They don't like it. They don't like what we stand for. They're completely opposed to it. And everybody in Hollywood and in the sports world is lifting them up and magnifying them and agreeing with them. They are directly opposed to what this Bible says and what God teaches. But we're too scared, we're too afraid, we're too passive whenever it comes to us standing against them. They are on the attack against us. Whenever we should be on the attack against them. Because you understand that sin is the thing destroying their life. We should be reaching out and battling against sin and realizing that sin is destroying them. Amen. We should be on the attack. Not, of course, with violence or any of those things. Our power is not, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling of down of strongholds. Do we still believe that? Do we still believe that if you walk with God and you pray, then God has the power and God has the strength to move the hearts of kings and to move the hands of those that are in authority? Do we still believe that if we take a stand and stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having done all to stand, do we still believe that if we do that, then God will move? Do we still believe that if we stand on what's right and we do what's right, then God will protect us? Or have we lost side of that. Have too many of our children gone to the world where we've lost faith in the power of God? Have too many children left and made their choices, and children make choices. Young people make choices. Families make choices. Older people make choices. Have too many people hurt us, too many people left for us to continue walking with God. What has gotten in between us and that focus, that desire, that practice of walking with Him? It's easy to get discouraged by those that we see walk away. And I've had to see that several times since I've been saved. I've had to see people that I prayed for do what I did. I've had to see young men that I spent time with, that I've prayed for, that I've gone through the Word of God with, that I've tried to reach out to, those that were on their way out. I've seen them walk away and ignore everything that I've said, just like I did with my parents. And it is heartbreaking, although not as intense as it is with a parent and a child, obviously. It's heartbreaking, and it's easy to get discouraged whenever you see that next young man or young lady going astray. It's easy to just say, well, I'm just going to let them do what they're going to do, instead of praying for them, instead of walking with God in front of them, instead of trying to show them the power that God can give to an individual. It's easy to just let them go. Let them make their choice. But that's not how we're supposed to live in these days. Not all will come back, but a few will. And a few will come in here. Amen. Are we going to be so discouraged? Are we going to be so disheartened when it comes to our walk with God that we're not going to be there for them in what they need? God needs people. God needs families. God needs individuals. Amen. To walk with Him. He desires that. Now, God can do what He wants. He doesn't have to have us, obviously, to work. But God desires to work through us, to reach out into this community and to reach out to our families. And we need some people again that are going to realize that the only hope for our families and the only hope for this community is lies with God, and decide that we're going to walk with Him no matter what happens. Walking with God, we see the time of Enoch's walk. We also see the testimony of Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found where in Hebrews, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Is that your testimony tonight? This isn't just the testimony that God gave of him. This is the testimony that everybody around him knew. They knew that Enoch pleased God. Methuselah knew it. Jared knew it. Everybody that was around Enoch knew that he pleased God. Do you know that about yourself? Does your family know that about you? Do they know, my mom and my dad, they desire to please God? That is their one desire above all else. They want to please the God of heaven. That is a testimony that will stand in any culture. That's a testimony that will stand in any wickedness. That's a testimony that cannot be pulled down by any kind of attack or any kind of society. Amen. The testimony that we desire to please God. Do we really think about that throughout the day? I don't try to hold myself up as something special. You all know me. You know my past. You know what I rejected to go into the world. But if I can please God, then anybody can. Amen. If God can use me, He can use anyone. If I can walk with God, then anybody can. It's not hard or complicated. Right? The Word of God is simple, and walking with God is simple. That doesn't mean that it's easy, but it does mean that it's simple. Right? It might be very hard sometimes, but it's not complicated. The Bible says, do this, and we do it. That doesn't mean that our flesh wants to do it. There is a battle to overcome our flesh and to walk according to the way that God wants us to walk. But that battle is able to be won. The battle against sin in our life and in others' life is able to be won through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we've laid it aside. We've let sin take over. We've let sin dominate our homes and our country and our community without saying a word. I remember when they were voting on bringing in alcohol to the county where we live. And I was in the world and at college and lost, but still made state news, and they were still posting about it all over social media, even at that time, in 2009, I believe it was, and how our church took a stand against the community, and they held up signs and preached and knocked doors and tried their best, and the local government worked it around to where only a certain few people were able to vote on it, and not everybody in the county and got it in. They said they needed it because of tax money and all that stuff. They said, we're just going to have a couple of liquor stores here in town. And now there's more liquor stores than there are churches. There's a dance hall right down the road from where we live where they sell beer. We're afraid of drunk drivers, and there have been several people killed, little kids killed by drunk drivers in our community since that time. We took a stand, and it seemed like it didn't do any good, but God has honored what has been done. God has honored in our community what has been done. Our church has grown, and they've grown in influence, and we have influence in the community, even in politics in some ways. Everybody that runs for anything in our county comes by the church. That's not because we're something. That's not because we've done something amazing. It's because we have honored God in standing for truth, and God will lift up those people, and He will shine them into the world as a light. You read the story of Daniel, and Daniel was a man who was taken as a slave to Babylon, and yet in the later years, and even in new kingdoms that came in, they came to Daniel for advice. God brought kings and brought emperors to Daniel to hear what he had to say, because Daniel decided that he was going to walk with God no matter what. Amen. We have lost the belief in that power. We've lost a belief in the power. We don't believe God's going to do that anymore. We've lost faith. We've been discouraged. We've gotten weary with well-doing. He said, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." And we've taken the other road. We've went ahead and fainted. We've not bucked up and said, "We're going to continue no matter what." We've fainted. And because of that, we've lost our reward. God still has rewards for those who believe in Him. He says in verse 6, "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Do you believe that? Do you believe that God will reward those that diligently seek Him? So why aren't we doing it? Why are we striving for the rewards of the world? Striving for the praise and the honor of men? Striving for the glory in our churches and our communities, instead of diligently seeking after God? Enoch walked with God. Now, because we, just a few verses are written, then we read, well, Enoch walked with God, and that's what happened. We just kind of glance over it. But he walked with God for 300 years. That's, if I lived to be 60, that would be five times my lifetime. That's how long Enoch walked with God faithfully every day. That's how much resolve he had. That's how much faith he had, and how much he allowed it to rule over his life. Enoch was not deterred when people died, when people were born. He was not deterred by anything that happened. He was going to walk with God. Moses had this same mindset. The Bible says that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He saw something that nobody else could see. When everything in Moses' world was falling apart and he was out of the palace and he was out in the wilderness, then he still endured as seeing him who is invisible. But every little thing that happens causes us to stay out of church, to quit reading our Bible, to quit praying. I talked to a young man, and he is from Massachusetts, and he said, I haven't had a desire to read the Word of God in months. That's a salvation problem. Yeah. Right, but you would be surprised how many people in our churches have forsaken reading the Word of God every time a problem comes up in their life. Every time something happens, or something good even happens, they get a new job or a new TV show comes on, then they forsake reading the Word of God and run to the things of the world. Whenever they're in trouble, then they run to the things of the world for solace and for consolation, instead of running to this Word of God. That's not what Enoch did. Enoch walked with God good times and bad times. It didn't matter. For 300 years. And we struggle to walk with God for 10 or 5. That's not the testimony that's going to survive during these times. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Is that your desire today? Do you really want to please God? Search your heart. I don't know everything that goes on in people's hearts. You see evidences sometimes, and you think, I don't know if they're really serious about serving God. Maybe they're serious about going to church, but I don't know if they're serious about serving God. But I'm not God. The only person that can really determine whether or not you as a father, you as a mother, you as a child or a grandfather, grandmother, the only person who can determine whether or not you really want to serve God is you. The only person who can determine whether or not you really, really want to please God is you. And you'll live accordingly if you do. I had a friend in Florida, somebody that I had known since I was a kid. He passed away from COVID complications just a couple weeks ago. And because of that, I've thought a lot about death. And I've always thought about it some, because it's one of the most real things you can think about. You know, it's so certain. Whenever you really think about it, death is more certain than tomorrow is. Because tomorrow is not guaranteed, but death is. And I'm not trying to depress you. But you need to think in truth and in reality. These things that are happening around us is God trying to wake us up, making us realize that tomorrow or the next moment or in just a few minutes could be the time that you stand before the God of heaven, see His face, and give an account for what you've done with your life, with your talents, with this Word of God, with the preaching that you've heard. Any moment you could stand before Him. But we don't live like that anymore. We don't live like Enoch did, where we walk with God every day desiring to see His face. And so we will not have the reward that Enoch had. When we stand before God, everything will be burned up. He said, those that build wood, hay, and stubble, it will be consumed. I'm afraid that we've done way too much for our honor and our glory. And when we stand before the God of the universe with nothing, no excuses, no lies that can be made, no reasons that could be said, nothing to separate us from His judgment and His glory, I'm afraid that whenever everything that we've done is set on fire, then it will be burned up, because we've not done it for Him. We've not walked with Him. We've not desired to please Him. We've only desired to please ourselves and the social structure that we're in. If we're going to do this, then we have to have a faith that is not shaken by the society that we live in. All of these people in Hebrews 11, and this is part of a bigger message out of verse number 15 about those that declare plainly that they seek a country. All of these people here, he says in verse 15, declared plainly that they were looking for a place that was not here. Is that what your life does? Abel did that with his worship. Enoch did that with his walk. Noah did that with his work. We see Jacob and we see Joseph and we see Jacob with his worship as well. Joseph with his foresight, and Moses and all of these people, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, all of these people declared plainly. Everybody knew what country they were looking for. Everybody knew the God that Enoch was looking for. There was no question. They didn't go up to Enoch and say, well, I wonder if he serves God or not. No, everybody knew that he pleased God. That was his testimony. Before his translation, before God took him. You see, this taking of God, this taking by God of Enoch wasn't the thing that convinced everybody that Enoch pleased God. He had that testimony before his translation. We're wanting God to do some kind of miracle, wanting God to use us in some kind of national way before we decide that we are going to please Him. We're wanting God to show to the world with some kind of bolt of lightning or some kind of airplane flying across the sky with a big sign on it that says, Brother Josh loves God. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for something magnificent, something crazy, something out of this world. But that's not what Enoch did. Enoch pleased God just by walking with Him every day. We talk to a lot of people in jails and in other scenarios that have been addicts or been on meth and drugs, and which meth is a drug, and alcohol and all these things. and they really struggle. They don't struggle dreaming up the big scenarios. They don't struggle dreaming up one day being a big preacher or one day singing and everybody clapping for them or playing an instrument. They don't struggle dreaming up those things. They don't struggle looking at those things. They struggle with every day just simply serving God. They get bored with it. They get bored with the reality. They can't handle it. They're looking for an escape from reality. But Enoch's escape from the world that he was living in was walking with God. It was pleasing God. And God honored him by taking him away. Enoch had a time that he walked with God. Do you have a time that you walk with God? Do you have a time that you pray, that you read the Bible? I appreciate what Brother Vincent said this morning. That reading the Bible is not just knocking out your quota. He said in Psalms 1 that his delight, talking about that man that walketh after God, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That would be a good thing for us to do in our Bible reading, to take a verse or take a couple of verses and meditate on those throughout the day. That's what's going to get us through whenever everything's falling apart. Whenever we're drawn away by temptation, we're drawn away by what we hear on the work, on the job site. We're drawn away by those things that we see down at Walmart. I know that's a horrible place. You know, to talk about now, you think of Walmart as just a place where people buy stuff, but people dress like a bunch of idiots down at Walmart now. Amen. They draw you away. They try to draw your attention. If you're going to make it through, you're going to have to find a way to please God by meditating in His Word. That's what He's talking about, that kind of faith. That kind of faith whenever you're faced with a temptation to find that verse in the Bible and say, I'm not going to do this because this is what the Bible says. Whenever you see something that you shouldn't see on, Fox News website or wherever it is, you know, you're reading, you shouldn't see that. The temptation to go click and to read and to see what's going on whenever you say in your heart, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. And you stay away from that because you believe what the Word of God says more than you believe your own temptation, more than you believe your own desires, more than you believe what the psychologist says or the liberal preacher who says, oh, that's just natural. You don't have to worry about those things. That's just the natural desires of a man. And they have no answer whenever homes are going to divorce court, whenever children are getting torn from this place to that place. They have no answer. Because they do not believe the Word of God any longer. They don't walk with God any longer. The hope for your home, the hope for your children, the hope for you is in walking with God. We don't have an option anymore. We don't have an option of being carnal anymore. We've seen over the last year and a half with COVID and with church services being canceled, we've seen the carnal just decide and realize that they don't need church anymore. They walked away because they didn't need it before either. They never walked in the way that was told them before. And so now they've had their opportunity and they've gone. If you don't settle in your heart now that you are going to walk with God, then the time will come whenever you face the test, whenever you face the temptation. Everybody comes to a place in their life, I did as well, where you realize either I really believe, I really hold what is being preached here, or you don't. And you realize you're your own man. You can do whatever you want to do. You're your own woman. You can do whatever you want to do. Everybody comes to a place where they have to make a decision for themselves whether or not they are going to walk with God. Whether or not they are going to please God as Enoch did. We see many walk away, and I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be drawn by the temptation of the world and have nothing in my heart to fight it. Because I was not saved. I know what it's like to be drawn away by those contemporary churches, by those people that say, oh, you don't have to live by all those rules. Those things are old fashioned. Those things are this. They're outdated. We don't live like that anymore. And I remember the desire in my heart to go where they went because I wanted to participate in the sin that they were participating in. I've heard young people say, they've said, well, they just seem to love Jesus so much. There's people in your church that love Jesus. There's people in your church that love God and walk with God. You're not attracted to their desire and their love for Jesus. You're attracted in those situations to the things they're allowed to do that you're not. That's what's drawing you away. If the love of Jesus was drawing you, then you'd be in this Bible. If the desire to please God was drawing you, then you would spend time praying. You would spend time worshiping. You would spend time praising Him in the house of God. But instead, we sit dead. We don't have any expression as fathers or as young people. We just sit there and listen to what's going on. But whenever anything's happening in the world, whenever there's a football game on, then we got plenty of jumping up to do then. Have you ever been to a football game? I mean, those people go crazy. Those people go insane. They jump around. They throw things. I've seen church people do the same thing at the football game, but not at the church. Yeah. You know, people get all worked up about singing too. You know, oh, this singing group blessed my heart and they testify about it. But whenever the preacher is up preaching the word of God and telling them exactly how they should live, they have no expression. They have nothing because they have no desire to please God. People who please God listen to His word. You remember Daniel, how he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And I wondered for a long time, where did Daniel come up with that? Obviously, his parents taught him the right way. But then I read in Jeremiah 29, where Jeremiah preached a message to those that were going into captivity. And he said in verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God had given Daniel a promise that they were going to spend 70 years in Babylon. That they were going to spend a period of time with him and then he was going to bring them back. That's how Daniel, when he walked into Babylon, could purpose that he would not defile himself because he believed the promise of God more than he believed everything he saw around him. Could you imagine that? Walking into a powerful empire like Babylon and saying, "I'm going to serve God no matter what these people say." That's how he held on. How much he held on to the promise of God. That's a faith that we need in this world. We see the time of Enoch's walk, the testimony of Enoch, and then we see the taking of Enoch. The reason that God took Enoch was because he pleased God. He says here, because God had translated him. For, that means because. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. God did something for Enoch that he didn't do for anybody else in Enoch's generation. Now you want to look like everybody else and act like everybody else and you'll get the same judgment and you'll get the same reaction from God that everybody else gets. Everybody that went to Babylon with Daniel, except for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, everybody else faded into obscurity. Whenever the empire of Babylon fell to the Medes and to the Persians, they fell with it. But Daniel continued. That's what the Bible says in the book of Daniel. He continued until the days of Xerxes, I believe it is. Daniel continued far beyond what anybody else ever did. If you want your family and your children and you as an individual to see things that nobody in this world is going to see, you need to please God. That's the one who can give it to you. If you want to see a miracle, if you want to see a miracle in your family, in your home, in your community, the only one who can provide that is God. Amen. And he needs some people that desire to please him. He said in Ezekiel, I believe, "I looked for a man among the people to stand in the gap to make up the hedge for the people." God is looking for somebody. The man there wasn't standing between facing the people with his back to God. He was standing facing God with his back to the people, interceding for them. Looking at the face of God figuratively and spiritually. But the Bible said, "Because there was none, then I have poured out my wrath on them." This country needs again some people that are able to see the shape that we're in and people that are going to spend time on their face before God no matter what, no matter how wicked it gets, that are going to intercede and ask and beg for the mercy of God for this country. I understand our leadership is corrupt and they're probably a bunch of reprobates. I understand all that. But there's still millions and millions of people that if they don't get saved, they're going to die lost without God and go to hell in this country, in America. The place that's been a light all over the world. There will be hundreds of millions of people die and go to hell in this country if God doesn't move again. God always desires to send revival. The problem with God sending revival is not God's desire, it's with us. We don't want it. We really don't want God to move. Our preacher preached about that few weeks ago. We don't want God to rule our families and rule our lives. We want to do what we want to do. And we want the society to be moral enough to make us feel okay. We want the society to, you know, be conservative enough to where we don't worry about it, to where we don't get upset about it. But instead, what we should do is be so concerned and so enraptured with pleasing God that the society around us doesn't just become something that we get angry about. It becomes something that we start interceding to God for. It becomes something that we see with compassion. Not compassion on their sin, but compassion on their soul. Realizing and seeing that sin is destroying people's lives. It is still, again, it is still a privilege. It is still an honor. It is still a good thing to fight and battle against sin. Look around you and think of the people over the years that have left here, that have been pulled out by sin, the young people. Think about that. It is still an honor and a good thing to fight against sin in those people's lives and in our own. The battle with sin starts with you, starts with your family. And then as a church and as a people, we join together. But we need people that desire to please God. Do you want to have what Enoch had? We're all going to be raptured one day, those of us that are still alive. We're all going to be raptured. We're going to have those things as a Christian. But I wonder if you want this thing that goes beyond the society that you live in. Something that stands out. I've seen tons of young people with talent that I thought growing up that were so talented. They had such an ability to do things, such an ability to play instruments or to sing or to preach or they had such a charisma with young people or with other people. They had so many abilities. Such an opportunity to be something that God could hold up and make special in this nation that we live in. But I've seen them be distracted by the world. Seen them be distracted by the things that they could touch right now. Instead of setting their affection on the things that God could give them in the future. And I've seen them fade into obscurity. And become nothing. I've seen that in my own life. Just barely work. Just work enough to get the next fix of alcohol or whatever it is. Not using any talents for anything other than getting what I want. That's not what I want for you. That's not what I want for your children or for your families. I want to see, the Bible says that I've written unto you young men in 1 John. I've written unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and ye have overcome the wicked one. That's what I want to see out of some young men and some young families. I want to see them strong and overcoming the devil. I don't want to see them jerked around by every false doctrine and by every new thing that comes out in the world. I want to see people strong and living for God. Is that what you want for your family? You better set as a priority that you're going to walk with God and that you're going to please Him. Let's stand to our feet. It's Elizabeth. Again, I know the way your preacher preaches. And this is what the Lord has given me to say. I don't know who it's for or any of those things, but I'll give you an opportunity to come pray if you bow your heads for just a few minutes as she plays. I've given you what the Lord has given me to tell you. Maybe we just need some encouragement, a reminder that God's not lost any power at all and that He is still a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God's not discouraged by the society that we live in. His power is not diminished by anything that our president does or that our Senate does. God's power is as strong as it's always been. And if we walk with Him, then we can know what that's like. Doesn't mean everything's going to go our way. We don't preach health and wealth gospel or any of those things. But we know that all things work together, the good and the bad, for good to them that love God. Have we lost sight? Do we still believe that? Or have we let that slip away by the bad things that we've seen? Have we been distracted from our walk by work or even good things? Even things that we must do can distract us from walking with God. No amount of popularity or anything that's worth giving up your walk with God. Tonight, God doesn't want anybody to leave here wearied by sin or burdened down by sin or distracted from serving Him. The reason God sends us messages, sends us things to say is because He wants you to live for Him. He is desiring for us to be in fellowship with Him. That's His desire. He's made every provision. He sent His Son. He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent this word. He's given us everything that we need to live for Him.
Christians in this world that we live in today, me included. I'm not just saying that to y'all, I'm saying it to me as well.